This doorway always marks the end of a run. There are markets down here, where entities will exchange any currency for equipment or spells only usable in this world. These dungeons, an entire year's salary will often not be enough to buy a single spell. Fair, since those spells are then a part of you. Much of what you know about this world was learned by interrogating its denizens. That's also why they avoid you now. Too many questions, and you used what you learned from some of them against others. You learned about the existence of other dungeons, the best treasure spots. The creatures might respawn in their original positions on each floor, but they remember you. The system remembers. You need the contents of this room, but it might be time to move on to a dungeon in another area. They're talking about doing something about you. Just one more room, the highest value treasure, and so the one you carry the shortest distance from this chest to the surface. There's a long corridor, leaden in icy fog, a foot above the ground infused with lines of lightning. It is actually a numbing spell. And you know you mustn't tarry in it. You feel the edge of your senses being pulled in. Your character sheet lists a fortitude capacity that could keep it at bay for days, but physical traps are slightly effective even through it. So set in the broad stone, so set in the broad cobbles of a 10-foot-wide wall, at the end of a corridor, is a door. Oak, with iron bands. It would be trivial to break it down. But you do not. Instead, you take the time to open your mental inventory and locate the right spell. Despite the pressing cold of the corridor, its fatiguing, chilling, tiring mist, this remains a relaxing procedure. You locate the spell, and then speak one word which sets the mostly cast chunk of magic free from your memory. You placed it there this morning, part of the preparations you now make before every dungeon run in the ever-changing yet familiar corridors. You rap once on the wood of the door, feeling its reassuring firmness. A whirring of clockwork begins, just for a fraction of a second, before the knock spell arrives and disarms the trap that was spinning up to slice you. It would barely hurt you, usually, but critical hits do happen. This trap is why you take your time, instead of smashing down the door as you do so many others. This bell slides back the bolt on the other side, and you are free to enter. This room and this chest are what you always save for last. And there it is, a banded coffer, worn with age, simulated age, but still impressive to look at. The entropic mists end at the doorway, so stepping into the room produces a warming contrast. These predictable runs are comfortable, and as this shall be the last one for a while, the last one you'll need before buying some equipment to confront the new dungeon you heard about across town. You took your time. Slow. Steady. The pleasant burn of well-earned exercise just kissing your muscles. You shut the now unlocked door behind you. It creaks when it opens, so it'll warn you, thus, if any anonymous, foolish, or brave creature tries to ambush you. You look across the room at the only thing in this fixed treasure room, the only thing that is ever there, the chest. Inside this unassuming box is a ring and a crest. They're for a different noble family each time. Interestingly, they always belonged to some rail family back in your world, a family which has offered a reward for their return, and is strangely willing to accept the return of their long-lost heirlooms safe and sound multiple times in a row. Fencing them gets you almost nothing. They're the most attractive thing in here, adding to the run's profit margin in laundered, clean, real-world funds, but not enough to make doing this trip solely for the heirlooms worthwhile. Another job would be less dangerous and pay more. This mechanic just assures you don't need a normal job. You step to the chest and lean down to flip up the lid. It doesn't budge. Well, that's strange. You grip harder and tug. Your statistics. Spare a glance at the internal sheet drawn in lines inside your brain. A pure mental image, but also an accurate visualization of your capabilities in this world. Yes, you should have enough strength to throw this chest, to shatter it even. But that might risk the loot inside. The dungeon never changes. But this chest won't open for you. You try to lift, it's stuck to the floor. And your strength statistic is not high enough to lift the whole dungeon. Well, that makes sense. You pull your hand back, preparing to get the lock-picking tools out with a sigh. You don't want to waste your other knock spell here. That's for emergencies, and... why aren't you holding your lock-pick tools? Your hand is stuck. Your dominant hand, the hand which can access your inventory, it refuses to budge off the chest. Interesting. Stuck fast. You tug, tug, tug with all your might. You're trapped. The chest is still there. Obstinately in place, and your hand is stuck by some strange substance. Usually, an opened chest disappears, leaving the loot for you to grab. So, maybe it is time for that knock spell. You say the final word of it, feel energy flow into your other hand. Here goes. You have to rap on the chest, so you choose the least sticky-looking part and knock. There is no click. And now, your other hand's knuckles are stuck to the chest, too. You feel very exposed and very silly. You might have to use your go-home spell and just appear in town without your loot. Embarrassingly, without your clothes either. A creak and the chest actually does open up a bit. Success! It opened. Oh, okay. It was just delayed. You tug where your hands are stuck to the lid, so you'll have to bend upward, awkwardly, and turn the thing around. But once you get a chest fully open down here, it vanishes. And that's your saving grace, right? You pull the top of the creaking box upward. But the chest opens no more than an inch before sticking fast. And once more, you are back to a situation where, no matter how much you tug with your hands, it stays open only that much, caught in a forward-leaning posture that feels very exposed. This is ridiculous. You should be able to apply leverage to it. Damn. You pull and tug, attempting to get your hands loose. They won't budge. You suppose you'll have to break the chest. You search through your memory for a spell designed to shatter objects and spontaneous prepare it, using one of your few daily charges. That's when you hear the sound. The air in here is sweet. Checking the heads-up display inside your mind, lust level on the rise. Well, that doesn't sound like too bad an idea. A sigh from just in front of you. A sweet sigh. And the suggestion of a curved waist. A rising, languorous hand. An open maw. Just below waist level. Coming from the small gap in the chest where you thought you opened it. But are forced to accept it may have opened itself. There's a slick, organic kind of sound, and something heavy falls on top of one of your booted feet. A tongue, over a foot long, and the tip of it makes a beckoning motion. It has lolled out of the gap in the chest. You see nothing but darkness within. Of course, you could try to peek inside while your hands are glued to its lid. There's a chance of it being illusory, but your angle isn't the best. With your hands stuck to the top, and you're not exactly wanting to lean down and inspect close up now that a long, massive tongue has emerged eagerly. Okay. True mimics don't appear in this dungeon, nor are they ordinarily so sticky. Maybe you pissed it off. Not the mimic, but instead, since those just bother people who try to open them, putting it here must be down to the dungeon itself. It could also be another creature just imitating one, mimicking a mimic. Well, you're mentally giving more credit now to the people who say lingering too long on a floor might make the Grim Reaper himself come for you. You feel something wet and hot against the front of your body, between your legs. The chest is licking its way up your leg. A strange dampness through your equipment, which seems to ignore it. The tongue actually narrows at the tip, more like a tendril than a normal tongue, and it slides inside your clothes with that dexterous feeler, up the inside of your leg, provoking pleasure and warmth. Its venom must be euphoric, and the tongue is made for sexual provocation. Consider you provoked. Not uncommon. It's one way to get your mana, and many ancient sex toys were just mana-hungry constructs, and can be pacified if fucked sufficiently hard. Many such devices have a regular visitor base for the pleasures they provide. That thick and pliant muscle rubs your own musculature, massaging on its way in. It is just a tongue, after all. But you've had quite enough. You're a dozen levels higher than this thing. Okay. You found a spell, and you plan to use it. Just as the tongue finds its way inside your underwear and pushes on your clit, you see stars and decide to give it a little time to keep doing what it's doing. That level disparity also means you have magic to spare. And being drained feels so good. It's something pretty much every adventurer has a taste for. And a willing, serving, technological sex toy is not to be passed up. There's a sensation of stickiness, not just physical, but a disrupted connection between action and result. Your magical circuits are murky, and you taste something soft and cloying on your tongue. Yes, the tip of the tongue is stuck to your clit. Suction. The sense of your sensitive protrusion being pulled inside the very tip of the creature's tongue. It still hasn't opened any more than it was, content to extend that tendril. The suction, the force of it almost makes your knees buckle. It starts and stops, producing fits of nervous vibration and spasms up through your midsection from the sharp pleasure inducement, relishing it, moving your hips, only invites and incenses the eager entity more. The tongue pushes in and knocks on a sensitive spot along the interior wall. You're having trouble staying up, but you resolutely do so by grabbing a nearby handhold anchored in the wall. Casting a spell with your hands occupied is hard, and you know there's a distinct penalty. But you can also simply satisfy this thing's mana reserves, if it's a mimic. But mimics are not found in this dungeon. Oh, you wonder how the dedicated oral being lavished on your pussy will affect that drain. This is better than usual. Eye fluttering, belly squeezing tension. You feel lightheaded, and you don't know if it's all from the expert in precise pleasure being given to you. What the hell kind of monster is this? Normally, the energy suction is the advantage. Clit, pulse, stuck to the tongue, stuck inside its suction cup tip, surrounded. Heat is going up inside the clitoral hood. Every bit that can be stimulated is under that heavy stimulation. It isn't just mashing your button. It is finesse itself, little licking, moving tendrils inside the tip of its tongue, surrounding your clit and pushing it left and right, flicking out patterns, occasionally vibrating. The feeling helps you to melt your resolve to do anything but resolve this climax. A sudden nasty want to indulge in it rises from deep inside, and you ride the tongue, only to find all its delightful ridges, which so frame your most sensitive part, point one way. It is milking you forward, milking you toward some distant, half-glimpsed destination you need inside. Oh, the tip inside, come hither motions, beckoning the front wall, beckoning you toward it too. Fitting for a predator which is so obviously bait. Its only focus on pleasure, pleasure for you, beckoning from behind the heat those scrubbing little nubs on the tongue are giving your molten clit, pushing your buttons, mashing your button. Then another feeling of backing off, no longer continuing to press within, just a rhythmic flopping of heavy musculature. Flipping polarity so the nubs even push you out into perfect position on it, so it can lap and slap up against your exterior lips while still rubbing your clit, sealing your pussy in with the pleasure, but insufficient friction for release to be anywhere near a tease. With that huge tongue pushing right against your pussy, a present and corporeal ache which brooks no poetry. You're grinding your hips subtly for that special, delightful, awfully revealing feeling of your hips bucking as it is getting its tongue into position and forming a seal. The wet tongue covering your entire sex like a restraining hand, stopping all ascent toward release, and incalculating you instead with the throb. It isn't even pulling you in. It has you on that powerful muscle, right where you belong. It didn't even bother to strip you inside your clothes, for the tongue just went in, prehensile, and quite thick at the base, but it seems able to narrow or contract to fit along, atop, and at the very tip, within your slit. Your clit being rubbed by tiny nubs on the tongue, inside your soaked crotch, to stimulate and keep you from getting too comfortable. And now, when you move, it follows exactly, tracing, sticking slightly, nimble muscle control. Stuck there, it is stuck to you, stuck to your pussy, vacuum sealed, anchored, delivering pleasure in doses. It stops sometimes. And the strange thing about it stopping is it makes you mentally ask for more. And before the thought completes, its tempo returns. All you have to do is think it, and you will be given as much as you like. You can't do it out loud. You're busy trying to focus. But you actually want more, even though you have an escape plan. The spell needs just one word spoken. But you have to speak a spell with conviction. You have to mean it, or else it'll falter, and you'll lose the stored spell. So, you might as well get off and be bored with this thing, and then repel it. Wherever you move, however you squirm, pleasure has gotten there first and is waiting for you. The tongue is big and strong. You could probably let your body weight down on it, and it would support you. You do a pleasurable mistake. Your favorite mistake. Hands stuck to the chest, lower body elevated and riding the gushing waves of pleasure in some obscene, balletic pose. You keep riding and writhing. You would stop and pull away, but you need to get your head clear so you can focus. You try backing up a little. It follows, stuck fast. The tongue stays stuck to your pussy inside your clothes. You know that it's as stuck to you as you are to it. Maybe that's unintentional, and it'll let go when you just make things slipperier, sexier down there. You only need a second of thought and the conviction to do what you're trying to do. Backing up with your hand still glued to the chest does now put you in a position where your butt is stuck out toward the entrance of the room. It is also a lot more difficult to keep your clothes up, something you'd been trying to do since that long, slimy member first slipped in. It's building. Your clothes threatening to fall down and restrict you, reveal more of you. Have some of them dissolved, or been undone by its nimble, prehensile tongue? Waves from your core that were only a gentle rise are now emphasized by the times the creature suddenly stops and leaves you alone for a second or two. The length of time you keep mentally begging it to keep going increases each time, and now you're moving your hips like a slut, riding out the pleasure. This makes your clothes move out of the way, at least. Or perhaps it really had loosened them on purpose. You look back and between your legs. You can see the slick length of its tentacle reaching between them, making the crotch of your underwear bulge obscenely as it stretches them. You try moving your hips and watch the way the spread-out tip of the tongue tendril stays locked onto your pussy lips. And then something inside extends into you, no more than the width of a finger. But that is enough for you to clamp down and realize how fucking tight you've become in response to the pleasure on your clit. The suction redoubles. You resume trying to cast, calling up the word. You know this one. You try it. Try to focus when it's licking up all the juices that flow from your slit. Try to focus while your clit is caught in a vibrating little sleeve that sucks it in and makes you moan, makes your eyes cross. It would be rather mean to interrupt it with a sudden shockwave. Oh! You know you're smiling in pleasure, blood flowing to flush in your cheeks, your mouth hanging open. You focus on the word and feel it work. You cast shatter. But nothing happens. Oh, that's right. You are trying to cast that spell, which only works on objects. You can't do that to a living creature. Also, it would be kind of mean. Now you'll have to start over picking another spell. It seems to have noticed what you did, though. You almost wish another adventurer would walk in, even though, or perhaps because, you know they would see your butt exposed, facing toward the doorway, and your tongue-coated pussy throbbing and convulsing under the mimic's ministrations, projecting your wanting out toward the door. Your hands are still stuck to the chest. Your vulnerable position is nonetheless pleasurable. A heat. Something inside of you is responding to a biological heat that goes beyond what is being done between your legs and reaching more into animalistic desire. There. Maybe something on its tongue is designed to make sex feel even better. It wouldn't be the first strange substance this creature had employed. You find yourself loving it. So you begin humping against the tongue. Fuck it. You'll deal with everything else later. This has the effect of surprising the creature by grinding yourself off willingly. It doesn't know your plan. You just came up with it. You think it's a good one. Surely, what you need to do is get an orgasm in. No more of its coy teasing. If you get off, you'll be able to focus. One orgasm, then you'll have power enough to use the spell you should have cast. The one that teleports you back to town. You'll just have to give up on the loot that should have been here. Strictly speaking, it's inside the mimic. But you don't plan to defeat it. You shut your eyes tight and focus on the pleasure. You focus intentionally on how good it feels to have that big, warm, slick tongue lapping all over your labia, pushing a little tendril inside your pussy just enough to keep it spread, and grinding a suction cup sheath perfectly fitted to your entire clit into the sides. Moving from side to side, jerking your clit as if it were a little cock, masturbating it systematically. And inside you, the building pleasure is a torrent, a wave. All it took was one moment of focusing. If you think about it too much, you'll come from it. That's good. That plays right into your hands. You'll experience the triumph of having outthought this dumb creature. Eyes still closed, body still leaned very forward, with your arms stretched ahead of you and on the chest, you just need to come. That'll make everything good. So good. Need to come. Then you'll be able to focus. Just need to come. You want to come. The tongue presses hard, and the whole thing vibrates like a toy, like a machine. The chest even shudders a little. Is it enjoying this? This reinforces that it is a predicament for it, too. You both need this. It is drinking up all your sexual juices. That's true. Your eyes fly open. You announce it to the world on instinct, the words tumbling from your lips. Coming, you say. You tell it, coming, coming. When your eyes opened, you thought maybe you saw something amiss. But your whole abdomen is clenching. Your pussy is tight around the tiny, wet, slick tendril inside. Your clit pulses, throbs, because the stimulation doesn't stop. It's almost too much. Oh, never enough. You stomp your foot on the ground a few times involuntarily, shaking so hard your ass quakes and wiggles in slutty ecstasy, working hard to stay standing as your knees try to buckle. Belly clenching and unclenching, a wave of lust that goes on much longer than it would if you were being fucked or masturbating. This creature has no consideration, and that means the pleasure it brings you is far greater than you would pursue on your own impetus. Coming as you ride its fucking tongue, as you ride it out, you know it licks up, sucks up, drinks down all your sexual fluids during a long, messy climax that has you sweating, your eyes only slowly finding focus, the shivering of pleasure around the boundaries of sight. Oh, good, good feelings, heat, but also exhaustion. It was practically a workout, is practically a workout, because no matter how long the orgasm rolls on, its aftershocks seem to roll longer. The tongue is still there, still sucking, but yes, you did it. You're more able to focus, enough to call the go-home spell to the forefront of your mind. Well, it's been fun, you say to the chest. It makes no response except, oh. You see it has unrolled a second and third tentacle, just like the first one. Just as thick, just as nimble. Your first orgasm. Or maybe all the talking you did has kicked it into a higher gear. Just as well that you're getting out of here then. You quickly find the spell and go through the motions of preparing it. It takes a second to find your balance. One of the tentacles slides up your legs and begins massaging your rear, rubbing lightly over your butthole, almost by accident. The one in your pussy withdraws, but the tongue against your clit and labia remains. After your orgasm, your pussy parted a little, and so even more of your juices are sliding slickly onto the tongue. The chest makes an eager slurping sound, like it is enjoying the taste of your pussy. This sparks another aroused moan from you, and a squirm. Once more, you get the spell in your sights and start trying to say the words. A tendril pushes into your rear. Post-orgasmic, with tired muscles and a confused mind, the feeling is amplified and the sensation is easier to accept. You feel it licking every fold and pressing the tendril just a tiny bit inside. At the same moment, the tentacle in front, under its tongue, which had been teasing inside your pussy, pushes back in, also the smallest possible amount. The dual sensation assails your senses, and you falter. The spell slipping away, or maybe you decided to let it go for the moment. The tendril in your butt and pussy move synchronized together, in and out, vibration on your clit, still hypersensitized after orgasm rolls in. You jolt, shudder, but there's no real escape from the pleasure. Nor do you want there to be. The pleasant and dedicated attention. Your whole lower body is basically covered in its tendrils now, and two more found your chest, slipped under your clothes, easy to do in the extended position you're in, up under your shirt and onto your nipples to latch on and begin sucking. In this way, with four points of distinct pleasure, you once more look for the spell. Attempting to focus, the spell word is right there. You need enough will to call it up. Enough concentration. Thrusting now. The one in your rear, which only emphasizes the good feelings in your clit and deep inside your pussy. There are numerous muscles at play, all of them tired, but all committed to do their best in reducing you to a sweating, orgasmic heap. You reach for a spell that seems to be in the mental world, slipping further and further away. The tentacle in your butt jolts, vibrating and shocking you at the same time. The tongue against your pussy works its very tip inside. The impossibly wide mouth members spreading you in its entirety instead of using a smaller tendril. This pops the little sheath off your clit. And that sudden tug, like being flicked right in the clit as your ass and pussy are rammed, as only one natural destination. Orgasm. The arrival of orgasm. Knee-shaking, mind-breaking orgasm. You're coming, and that coming is making the world further and further away. Oh, you try to reach for it, only for it to fade. You're coming so hard that you can see light expanding to fill all your vision. The tongue licking, the tentacles sucking your nipples, the few working against your butt to spread it. The one buried deep inside, jolting you in time with your clenching. Your eyes close. It's enjoyable. You moan because the waves of pleasure are unceasing, continuous. Even having come, you're still twitching, trembling through the waves of post-orgasmic aftershocks. Physiologically, mentally, you've been straining and moving so much that your body is fatigued. It just wants to take care of you. Tired bodies come harder. You didn't think you had the energy. You don't really. But it's still working you toward another orgasm. Working you toward ripples of positive release. Externally, like this, milked from within and from without, filled, stroked, and caressed. The spell vanishing, unraveling in your headspace before your very eyes. It made you come the spell right out of your head. Oh, that's so hot. You shrug and slump over, laying across the top of its lid. You forgot you could move forward, until you do. All the tentacles and tongue still protrude a few inches of opening. It makes a sound. Deep. A growl. A purr. You surrender your body to its care. Difficult to think. Easy to just let go and lay there, throbbing. Why fight it? The tentacle in your ass and the entire tongue teasing your pussy combine their movements to rail you and fuck you so hard the chest itself rocks. If anyone walked in, the scene would look really funny. But no one walks in. Your legs close tight, your eyes too, and yet you see something else becoming clear. The more you build up this wonderful feeling inside, the more you think you can see the outlines of the dungeon. Beyond the torchlight, behind the substances, some other light, lines of code, letters, the stuff this place is made of. Inside your mind, in a place that's already about to white out, overpleasured on the fast, deep thrusting tongue, and tendril pressing you against the lurching chest, you think you can see the structure underlying this place. The expression of light and code present even in the creature vibrating, stretching and filling you with its tongue. You see energy flowing from you into it, from you into you. Your skin is dull, the only real thing here you would have once thought. But how could all this light, this beautiful place, not be? You enjoy the shocking way it seems able to predict just when you're about to come and make you wait those few seconds more. You enjoy the surprising number of tentacles it happens to have hidden in there. They twist against the sides of your breasts, squeeze and caress your buttocks, stroke your sides and back as you lay collapsed and atop the lid, feeling the sensation of its purring, stimulating your nipples, rumbling through your body. Inside your ass, the tendril pulses. Its tongue finds the depth of your pussy, spreading to fill you to your limit, stroking every quivering inch. In unison, they pump in and out, each appendage aligned with your body, pressing every pleasure button, beginning to shiver, writhe, pulsing rapidly, sending shockwaves of vibration through the spasming walls of your pussy, deep into your clit. Again and again, you're clamping down, squeezing on the tongue, milking aphrodisiac from it, hips grinding your clit against a sucker, until your pussy's leaking mingled juices in quantities that trickle down your thighs and are massaged into your skin by the mess of tendrils. The light gets brighter. The light you could see. The structure of the dungeon itself. Coming. You enjoy seeing the shimmering lights. Eventually, when it has fucked you long enough, squirting strange substances into you that help you smile and drool and really find the depth of pleasure. The shimmering lights, which are the code beneath the code. This must be the way it sees the world. Everything is so bright, pleasant. Everything is outlined in light and touch and pleasure, except for you. Your body still looks dull. other than where it slathers on its special substance. There your body looks a bit brighter, and it seems to pulse in time with the euphoria of sexual delight. The last thing you clearly remember, as you slide off of it, glimpsing the mess of tentacles inside, and then lay back on the floor, the tendrils, the tongues of it, slide over you, onto you, licking every inch of your body. Your equipment slid off long ago, and you formed a cool puddle on the floor, which it licks up before continuing to lay you. Yes, the last thing you clearly remember is more of those tentacles pouring out of the chest, surrounding you, sandwiching you between two waves of pure and unfocused pleasure. And because you're seeing as it does, it is like being surrounded by light, which can see your every pleasure spot, your every thought, and fuck away the ones you don't really want. Intent on bringing intense ecstasy to every single inch of you. Your mind and energy leaking out your cunt. It feels so good. It feels so good to be a sleeve. It feels so good being stroked and lapped. You can't wait for more. And more. And more. All you're thinking about. All you need. Only your best self. Rubbing over and inside it. You sigh. Eyes closed and mind's eye opened as the dim color of your flesh transitions to light, heat, and the good place inside your head that it is fucked right into you. Maybe the dungeon didn't put this here to punish you, after all.
Overheard in a bar a few weeks later.
Did you hear?
Yeah, there's a new one showing up down there. Some kind of mage with tentacles.
Oh, there's a new monster down there?
Yeah, watch out.
You open a chest and a person pops out. It looks like an adventurer, but naked. I heard it'll use any equipment it finds, so be quick about it and get out of there if it has anything dangerous.
Nah, I saw it. It has no equipment. It just looks pretty sexy, and when you get close, it transforms again. Like tentacles, big tongue, whole thing. Seriously, be careful.
Well, no, I didn't fight it. I ran away. It's just gonna take your loot.
Maybe you could trade it something.
Nah, better to avoid it.
It might not be hostile.
Come on.
Who just walks up to strange monsters?
Yeah, I'm sure no one's silly enough to get too close to something like that. Yeah.